Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. I'm so glad everyone who's tuning in right now, everyone who has been supporting the show. Tonight is our part two episode of The Legacy of Dr. Nancy A. Spearman. Well, listen, before we even go any further, I'm going to play this song. It's called He Has Done So Much For Me. And we'll be back real soon, right after this song. And when the callers start calling in, we'll get right into the show. So I thank God again for you all tuning in. So stay tuned.
That's all right. Y'all stay on your feet. Come on. Everybody just clap your hands. Everybody just clap your hands. Everybody over there just clap your hands. Everybody over there just clap your hands. Everybody come on, just clap your hands. Everybody just clap your hands. Everybody just clap your hands. Everybody just clap your hands. Come on. He's done. To explain all the joy that I'm feeling. Sometimes I feel like I'm insane, because I know the Lord is real and I know He's done so much for me. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't praise Him enough. He has done. Sometimes I feel like I'm insane, because I know how good the Lord has been. I know He's done so much for me. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't praise Him with every word He's done. Oh, yeah. Have He done anything for you tonight?
Oh, God bless everyone again. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. I thank you all for tuning in, and we're going to start right now and get right into the show. I thank God for my aunt, Pastor Angela Gibson, who's one of the co-hosts for the episodes of The Legacy of Dr. Nancy A. Spearman. I thank her for joining us right now. How you doing, Auntie? Hello? Hello?
Johnson on the line.
How you doing, Pastor Johnson?
The Lord's good to me.
Wow. I know
real
he is.
Real good.
Well, I thank God for you calling in. We added another week. It's so much we had to just keep adding shows because it's so much we can talk about Dr. Nancy A. Spearman, and I'm looking forward to hearing more testimonies. I'm looking forward to hearing as people just take us down memory lane of such a great and powerful and anointed Holy Ghost filled woman. And I know this, I know it's going to be a great time. I'm real happy that for every call that comes in, it just makes me happy because it's just someone else calling in with the love that they have in their heart concerning this great woman of God. So,
amen.
Pastor Johnson, since you're on the line with
I was on the phone all week calling different ones, so you should be getting a lot of calls in on tonight.
Well, that's a blessing. I'm looking
forward. Amen.
Well, Pastor Johnson, what I wanted to do for just to start the show, we didn't do this last week. I just wanted to know if you would just start this show. Let's just have a moment of prayer. If you would start the show and pray for us before we even go further into the show.
Amen. Father, we just thank you for your love and kindness. Thanking you for another chance that we can come together. Oh, God, we know that you've been so good to us. We come to remember the great and wonderful anointed legacy of the great woman that you sent our way. Many souls have been blessed. Many souls have been healed and delivered. But most of all, many souls have been saved. And we thank you for this opportunity. In the precious name of Jesus, oh God, we pray that you will bless each and every one, that we can continue, not stop now, but keep on moving, keep on going forward in the name of Jesus. Letting the world know that there is a balm in Gilead. And we thank and praise God for Minister Miller, that doing such a great job to remember this woman of God. And God, we thank you for every call that come in tonight. Bless each and every one in the name of Jesus, that we arise up and continue to march forward. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank God. You know, some Pastor Johnson, I was sitting here earlier today, and I was just thinking it would be so as much as going on in this city right now in our city and cities all across the United States, me coming up as a child, man, and feeling that great, powerful anointing that would take place in those revivals, I just wish that a lot of the young people in this generation could have an experience and felt
Amen.
The anointing the way I did as a child, man. It's just I wish that anointing would just come through this city and just, oh, man, just turn this city upside down, man, with the presence of God. And because there's so many people out here that are lost right now, so many people doing so many things, and people really need God in their life, Pastor Johnson.
Amen.
And I just wish, I wish right now, Pastor Johnson, if you was to just to say anything to the young people out here in this city, what would you say to them?
Amen. But first of all, I'd like to thank God because when we were coming along, I mean, the evangelist was dedicated and ready to preach the gospel. But nowadays, they only come for one night and they want so much money. But evangelist Philip didn't worry about the money. We had revival and preach all night and said to the young people, you can be saved. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what the problem is in your life. Remember, Jesus can fix it. He can turn your life around. He can change you and make you new. All you got to do is be willing to surrender your life to God because he's the same God that he was then, he is today. All you got to do is yield yourself and come boldly before the throne of God. God loves you and he wants to help you. And I just thank God for everyone that called in. We believe in God for souls to be saved. I'm praying that God will stir up these young evangelists that coming forth preaching and running revival. Not for the money, not coming to sit in one day, but we ran revival 2 and 3 weeks. And that souls might be saved. That's what it's all about. Souls being saved for the kingdom of God. And that's what we need. So we're praying for our young people that they will catch on fire and know that God got somebody. God got a true man or woman of God that's going to stand in the gap in these last and evil days. You can be saved. I don't care what it is. I don't care what the devil say. I don't care what your friends say. I don't care what you say. God can change your life and turn you around. All you got to do is surrender and tell the Lord, here I am. Use me and do what you want. And I believe and I know it that God will do it. Because he did it back then. He'll do it for you. And if he did it for us, he'll do it for you. God has no respect to person. You can be changed. You can be set free. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, I see it's a few other callers on the line, but before we even get into any other callers, it's a few things I want to ask you on this show, Pastor Johnson. Being that Pastor Spearman, Evangelist Spearman, just a powerful woman of God, when you were on the road, I know being a woman preacher, you might have come up against different obstacles during your travels. Is there any moments that took place where people tried to make it hard for the revivals to be run?
But you know what? The Lord had blessed us, so we didn't have too many problems being, hard, But one thing Evangelism told us, when Everett and myself went on the road, you got to know what God has told you. You got to know who you are in God. And the Lord has seemed to open the doors for us. We didn't have no problem of going in people's pulpits. And the Lord has blessed her so much, and she wasn't worried about the money, and she didn't come in the church like a star, come in and go in the pastor's office and sit in the back until we get ready to come out. She came to church early and came out into the worship and praise service so she can know which way the Spirit is going. But now these evangelists, they want to come late, go in the pastor's office, sit and drink tea and study. It's too late to study when you come for revival. You should be ready. Come on out in the testimony service. Get involved in the service. And that's why our revival was so great, that because Pastor Spearman got involved with the revival.
Wow. Well, let me ask you this question. When it came to fasting and praying, how was that in Pastor Spearman's life?
Oh,
her
my God.
And her
I've seen Pastor Spearman fast 10 days straight, just drinking water or juice and preaching hard every night. 10 days straight. And I couldn't, and I said, and I was praying, I said, Lord, I couldn't go 10 days, to be honest. I could go 3 days and maybe eat one meal. But I've seen her went 10 days straight, just drinking juice and water. And she was such a woman. I tell you, it's amazing. It seemed like we had an angel unaware, because I've seen her fast and pray in the revival, and she studied and prayed and believed God. And that's why God blessed her so much, because she yielded herself to God through fasting and praying and preached so hard, you wouldn't believe she was fasting for 10 days without any food, just drinking water. And drinking orange juice. But the Lord bless us so much. And I tell you, if we can relive those days, oh, God. Sometimes I wonder if we could relive these days now that we're in now. It would be such a tremendous. But you can't get advanced to come and preach for you. They'll come one day and 2 weeks. Oh, no, they ain't going to come over 1 or 2 days. But, 1 or 2 days, you can't do no revival in 1 or 2 days. The first week, just getting a peep in the atmosphere. And I tell you, by fasting and praying, God moved every night in the revival. souls were saved, healed, and delivered. The Bible says these things come through fasting and praying. And I guarantee if you fast and pray, turn your prayer down, God will move on your behalf.
Wow. Pastor Johnson, when y'all used to run those revivals and in all the different cities, all in South Carolina, North Carolina, all over, everywhere, when y'all would get ready to leave, how did it affect the people when y'all would have to leave them?
Oh, it affected the people. How did it affect me? I cried every time I was getting ready to leave. Oh, I would cry at every revival. Pastor Freeman said, I'm going to leave Pastor Johnson here. Because she just crying. You be crying and hate to leave. The young people be crying. And then we be crying to leave. And then by the time we get in the next city, they crying waiting for us to come. It was so hard to leave the people. Oh, I cried so much. Every the last night, Lord. Pastor Freeman say, I'm tired, Pastor Johnson crying every revival. I'm going to leave her here with y'all. Because this hurt me so hard. You know, just to leave the people, and the young people be crying. I never forget, we was in Beaufort, South Carolina, and we was at the train station. We had already checked our luggage. Everybody had already put the luggage on the train, and the people from the whole school was there. They was all on their knees. Pastor, Van Spirman, please don't go. I want the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost. Did you not know? We had to take our luggage off the train, go back to Beaufort, and ran a revival. And we was there for about 4 weeks. And God saved the whole school. The whole school got saved. And the teachers came out, want to know what was going on, because there was a change in their life. And I tell you, God moved. Those are revivals I will never forget as long as I live.
Wow. You know,
and how it affect the people. Huh?
What was the most to you right now, you being a pastor now, and when you was moving in, you was an assistant pastor, now you're the pastor. What's the difference to you, the reality difference between evangelizing and pastoring?
See, when you become an evangelist, the Lord changes your message. Evangelize, you just preach and leave. But a pastor, and you're stationary in one place. So you have to teach and preach, but you're stationary. See, evangelists can preach this and preach that, and they're gone. You know, they give you God's word, and they didn't care if you didn't like it. Mama gave it to them, we will move on. But when you become a pastor, you're stationary in one place. And God has changed my message. So I'm no longer evangelist. I have a pastoral ministry, dealing with the people one-on-one and stationary at your church. And sometimes you have to preach a message, and you have to go over it again and preach it again. And it's a great difference in evangelists and pastors, because you cannot pass a church and run up and down the road. See, you got to be stationary at your home. And I just thank God when Pastor Freeman came up the road, people tried to get her to go back, but she was stationary at her church. And that's where her church needed her. So it's a great difference in an evangelist minister and a pastoral minister.
Wow. How was it, man? I know it had to be tiring sometimes, preaching day in, day out, just nonstop. What type of things did y'all do for rest? Or did you vacation? Or what?
No, we didn't have no vacation. We would have a meal on Saturday. Saturday, Everett would love to watch sports. So Mama would watch the sport with Everett. And sometimes some of the young people want to go shopping. I would go shopping with them. But Saturday was our day to be together. She always spent that time with Everett because he loves sports. And Mama did that. But you know what? We was ready for it. When we leave in January, we didn't come back to Trenton until June. We preach every night, and we would have some Saturdays off. And sometimes we would preach Sunday morning at one church, Sunday afternoon at another church, and Sunday night at another. But the Lord kept our body. We didn't get tired. We weren't sick, and our voice didn't get hoarse. And a lot of people said, why y'all not hoarse? And we would sang and preached hard every night. But the Lord kept our vocal cords open, and the Lord just give us supernatural health, supernatural strength to be in a revival every night. And then when we would close the revival on Sunday, Mama would take money to travel to get to the next city. And when we get there sometime on Tuesday, and we be ready for Tuesday night. So the Lord just really blessed. I mean, you don't find no evangelists like that no more. You know, it's a different thing now. They want to know how much money. Pastor Pim didn't worry about no money. She went in there. Souls were her goal. Souls was for the kingdom of God. And she told us two things that will kill a preacher. Sex and money. Sex and money will kill a preacher. And she said, I'm going to let you know now, I'm not going to let you, Everett, or you, Geraldine, mess up my ministry. So y'all out here looking for a girlfriend or boyfriend, you go home. Because I'm out here for the kingdom of God. And she laid her laws down. And I tell you, we followed them. That's why we had such a great revival, because we worked together in love, peace, and we were willing. We were willing to do it for God. We was willing to tell God yes. We was willing to sell out everything. We gave up everything for God. And I tell you, it was a journey. It was so joyful. 20-some years, and I tell you, the Lord been good. Kept us. No accident and traveling late at night and going from one place to another. The Lord has really kept us. The Lord been good to us. I mean, real good.
That's great, Pastor Johnson. You know what? I'm happy right now. I'm about to let thank God for our Pastor Everett Kelly calling in to the show.
Yeah,
how
amen.
You doing, Pastor Kelly?
God bless you, my brother. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. It's kind of great that it's good that you're on this show, man. You and Pastor Johnson were the ones who traveled all over this world with Pastor Spirit. So to be able to hear from you two is a blessing tonight.
Yes.
Pastor Kelly.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I just want to start out asking you, what does the legacy of Pastor Spearman mean to you?
Oh, my words can't even express the impact she had on my life. She was a woman of integrity, a woman of purpose. She loved people, and like Pastor Johnson said, she said the same thing. She says, Everett, she says, I'm not going to let money, I'm not going to let sex get in the way. You looking for a girlfriend? We would go different towns, and she would say, we ain't looking for no girlfriend, we ain't looking for no boyfriend. We here to serve the Lord. I saw this woman of God, just she empowered me. There's not a season in timing, even though I have my own ministry, that she impacted me with the love and integrity, and the praise and the intensity of the worship was awesome. Amen.
Well, if you was to just take us down memory lane, could you give us a few stories of your time, what really touched you throughout the revivals and the traveling?
Oh, my. Words can't, I tell you, we had such an intense schedule and timing. As Pastor Johnson would tell you, I haven't met a team as of yet that had a schedule like we had. We would leave around the 27th, 28th, correct me, Pastor Johnson, 28th of December, we would see, amen, New Jersey back to June. We would be booked solid. I had a lot of valuable personal time with Pastor Spearman. Many times it was late at night when we spend time, we fellowship with people, talking to people, encouraging people. And then men sometimes on Friday nights, Saturday nights, we'll stay up, me and her watching football, watching basketball till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And she poured into me. She was literally a mother figure to me. My mother I was living, but Pastor Spearman, she took me under her wings and she taught me and trained me. And I never forget the timings that I minister. And even when I do revivals and crusades today, I must mention her legacy. I must mention something about her. That's what impact she had on my life.
Man. Pastor Kelly, when it comes to doing those revivals when demons were being cast out and people's lives were being changed and being delivered, man, like, give us a picture of the atmosphere. If you can just try to just paint a picture of how things was, because there's a lot of people who have never experienced that.
You mean you got an echo.
Hello?
Oh, it's an echo. I have an echo.
Yeah,
Jermaine
got an echo.
Hold on. Is that better?
Nope. Hello? Am I clear? Am I clear?
Yeah, you're clear. Yes, okay. You're clear. I can hear you.
Well, man of God, Pastor Johnson can tell you, I think I was sharing with you earlier today, there was numerous of times in the revivals that we had. I never forget the time we was in Vernon, Florida, Ebro, Florida. That's the north part of Florida. And I remember, Pastor Johnson, remember the time that she went on that consecration fast? And she wouldn't eat? She would eat, and I would tell her, and you would say, Mama, you got to eat something. She said, no, baby, I'm seeking the face of God. I'm not going to eat nothing. She would drink water. And literally, this woman would preach under the power of God. Literally, I'm not exaggerating. Pastor Johnson witnessed, I'm not exaggerating. This woman would be totally soaked from her head down to her feet. The water be gushing out of her shoes. Am I right, Pastor Johnson?
Yes, Lord. Her
shoes
was soaking wet.
Shoes was soaking wet. The anointing, the power of God. I remember the time in Shipley, Crestview, Florida, when we couldn't tell the young people that we was leaving, and they would find out, and they would meet us at the train station, at the bus station. And they would be hugging, let the hallelujah roll. And they'd be crying, please don't leave, please don't go, because the anointing of God impacted that city. Oh, it was so awesome. It was so awesome, man of God. But Jermaine, it was. I experienced some things, and I. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
Good, I'm on the radio with Jermaine talking about
the... Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Pastor Kelly. It's my phone. It got an echo or something. I'm trying to fix it, but just go ahead.
But this, as words can, the woman was such a powerful, and I learned from her not to get into gossip. She drilled that into us. Many times we went out to fellowship. We went out, like, people wanted to take us out to eat. Rarely she would go. But when we go out, when people have attendance because you're evangelists and they want to vamp, they want to tell what they went through or talk about situations, my pastor such and such and the usher board such and such, the deacon board, she would always have a tendency to turn the conversation back around, and you know God said such and such and such. It was so awesome because she didn't give no place to gossip. She didn't give no place to heresy. She didn't give no place in talking and criticizing and doubting people. That's what I love. She was just a woman of God, truly a woman of God.
But at this time, I got my Pastor Angela Gibson. I'm going to let her take over a little bit as the host so I can get my phone fixed. So she's going to be the one asking a few questions to everyone for a while.
Amen.
Pastor Gibson? Pastor Gibson?
Amen. I got your back, nephew.
Okay.
Amen, Dr. Kelly. It's so good to hear you on the call. It's just good to hear those stories. Those are even things that we're not aware of, because when we came in contact with Pastor Spearman on this end, yes, we did see the revival because, you know, we would attend them, but to travel the world with her is just a whole totally different experience. And so you and Pastor Johnson really got to see who she really was.
Yes, yes.
And so it's good to hear what you have to share with us. What do you think is your greatest memory on the road with her?
One of my greatest memories on the road with Pastor Spearman was the time, Pastor Johnson, we was in Indianapolis, Indiana, at Bishop Otis Church. And we was in a revival. God was moving mightily every night. And if you know anything about Indianapolis, Indiana, it's the hometown. It's an apostolic country. They really don't believe in women preachers. And I think the revival wave went on 3-4 nights. And all of a sudden, Bishop Otis got a message that they was going to come and shut the revival down because they heard that this woman was in the town causing havoc. And Pastor Spearman came to me and Sister Johnson, and she said, they're coming tonight to close the revival, to shut the revival. Just a couple of the local preachers going to get together and come close the revival. She said, it's just like she's talking to me now. She said, I did not call myself. God anointed me. I'm just doing what God called me to do. And my God, that penetrated, and the tears came. She says, I just love God. I'm just doing what God called me to do. And that night, we prayed. We about me, Pastor Spearman, Pastor Johnson, we hold hands, we prayed. We went to the service. And she said, give it all you got. Give it all you got. We gave everything. The preachers came in, about 4 or 5 of them came in and sat in the back of the pulpit. That Pastor Spearman preached under the power of the Northern God. Those men could not touch her. They got up and walked out of the service. I thought that was so powerful that they could not bother the anointing of God that was upon her life. Amen.
Amen. I know we had a similar experience like that with Pastor Spearman when she had to preach in a church, and it was so funny because the pastor did not want her to come in the pulpit. I don't know if you all remember that or not.
Well, numerous of times they would let her preach in the pulpit, and she had to preach on the floor. Churches we went to, yes.
Yeah, but Pastor Spearman didn't mind because she would always say, if you wake me up in the middle of the night, I can preach right from my bedside.
Mm.
It didn't matter. She said, I'll wake up preaching. So they can put me on the floor, put me out the door, wherever. When the anointing is on you, that's something you can't deny, whether you be male, female. You just have to do the work of God. So I think that's what I appreciate her most for, was just her willingness to do the work of God, no matter what. She knew she was called to do it, and she was going to do it, denying herself and everything else. And I love her for that.
Amen.
Pastor Gibson.
Yes.
There are some callers on the line from 716 number, a 866 number, and a 757 area code number. So I'm about to let those callers on, and you can just ask them some questions, ask them who they are, and whatever, however you want to take it.
Amen. So what number do we want to take first? Who wants to speak first about the legacy of Dr. Spearman?
Hello?
716.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Teresa Sanders. How are you doing, Pastor Kelly?
God bless you.
God bless you. I was listening to you guys talk about Mama Spearman. There was no one like her. Her and, and Gerald and you. You guys were an awesome team.
Sister Teresa, can you just wait just one moment? I'm going to ask everyone who's not speaking to please go on mute, and I think that might help us with the echo that we're hearing. So if you're not speaking, please go on mute.
Okay.
And then I'm going to ask Sister Teresa if she'll just repeat what she just said.
Okay. I said I want to say hello to everyone, including you, Minister Miller. Is this Minister Miller?
How are you doing? Yes, this is Minister Miller right here.
How are you guys? I'm good.
Great.
Pastor Spearman and Pastor Johnson and Pastor Kelly, I was very young when I heard about them and went to their revival, and it changed my life. I got saved up under Mama Spearman, and she was a spiritual mom to me. I loved her so much, and what I loved about this woman is she didn't just walk the walk or talk the talk. She lived the life that she preached about. And when someone touches your life because you see them as they are and that they are for real and you don't know anything else and they don't say anything bad about people and they try to tell you to, no matter what's going on, just hold your head up and go on, be encouraged, and this too shall pass. That's the type of woman she was. She definitely left a legacy of children loving God, knowing that with him, everything and anything can be done because God is the beginning and the end.
Amen, Sister Teresa. And where are you from? What city? What state?
Buffalo, New York.
Amen. I'm sure she was in Buffalo many, many times with revivals. I remember hearing many stories about the revivals in Buffalo.
Yes, she was. She was an inspiration to a lot of people. And me and my husband are a testimony. Next week, August 17th, we'll be married 36 years. And this woman has just, she was very instrumental in our lives. Many days I called her. And she was never too busy. No matter what was going on, she always would take the time out to talk to you. And you don't get that from a lot of people, and a lot of people that have large titles and have a lot of people around them.
Amen. Amen. Sister Teresa, what is one word you could use to describe Dr. Spearman?
I would say she's just an inspirational speaker. Just awesome. I can't think of nothing no greater than just awesome.
Amen. Amen. Well, we thank you for calling in. We're so glad to hear your voice and to hear Buffalo, New York, representing the legacy of Dr. Spearman. Truly, her legacy is everywhere. I think any city call out, we will have somebody who either heard her preach or have been touched by her messages. So we thank God for you calling in. Hopefully you can make it down to the Jamboree August 23rd, 24th.
Of August, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I know I probably will not be able to make it down, but I wish I could come. But I've had surgery, so I can't be there physically. But
amen.
I would have loved, if it wasn't for that is one trip I definitely would have made.
Amen. Well, we're glad that you're on this call tonight. Thank you so much calling in.
Thank you. And thank you guys for the memories and for doing this for someone that really loved the Lord. And it's just so well deserved. And it's just nothing like remembering those that really love the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you so much. And God bless you all.
God bless you, too. Amen. Who else do we have on the call tonight? I think I heard two other callers, right?
Yes, it's two other callers. There's a caller from an 866 number and a 757 number.
Yes, 866. Keith Clay. Hello?
What's going on, Minister Clay?
How are you?
Great, man. Great.
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in, man.
Yes, I finally got a chance to be able to get on. I'm still at work, but my supervisor allowed me to take a little time. I can give you guys a call.
And well, what we do on here on the show, when people call in, the first question we like to ask them is, what does the legacy of Dr. Nancy A. Spearman mean to you?
Well, she was a great person, number one. She was a person that she knew me before I knew myself. Being her nephew, and all I can say is that it's nothing but good about her. She never had a bad thing to say about anyone that I've known of her. And like you said, like Teresa said earlier, but she always take time with anyone. She don't care what color or what kind of person you was, how good or bad or whatever. There was always something good about a person that she can see in them. And to me, she's been a great person, and she's always been a great person in my life. That I thank God I was able, you know, to be a part of her life, and that, you know, being in the same family, but me, her and my mother being sisters, and so you know, just growing up knowing her, you know, just being an inspirational person that she is, and she loved people.
What do you miss most about those revivals and the gospel jamborees, things like that?
I miss most of the gospel jamborees, that especially like how we all used to get together and plan it, and you know, everybody's getting ready, you know, so we can see one another that we haven't seen each other since the year, you know, to year, and it was something that, you know, even talking to her, how we got excited about it when she first introduced me to the jamboree when it came to Newark, New Jersey, when the first time I went, she was saying I really would love it, and it's like, you know, lots of young people that be there. That I'll be meeting, and which I did, and I don't regret, you know. And I tell you, it was just really great, you know, seeing people I haven't seen, you know, year to year, and just getting together and just praising God and having a good time with one another, where everybody just getting together, getting dressed up, looking good, and just jamming and getting down.
And, well, I know we know you were involved in directing choirs, yeah, and singing and all of those type of things. As we're having this Gospel Jamboree Revival honoring her legacy, how does that make you feel? What does that make you feel? What does it mean to you knowing that your aunt, your pastor, evangelist being honored?
Yeah, it makes me feel very proud that she is being honored. I wish she could be here to see what we're doing, you know, see what is being done. Letting us know that there's people that still love her, even though she's gone, but she's still in our hearts and minds, you know. And that, and I am happy to see that, you know. And I do appreciate everyone that's working so hard to make this big weekend coming up in 2 weeks. That, you know, that we're getting ready to just get together again. Those that are coming from, you know, out of town, those in town, and you know, just making this a really great service, making this a great weekend. And I am happy, and I'm just as proud as I can be. And I tell you, she does deserve this. And I just love what's happening. I have no other words. It's just, I'm excited about it. And luckily, I had my time off. I'll be able to be there for the services and everything, and get busy, and just excited about getting with everybody, having a great time.
I got one more question for you.
Okay.
If you was to think about revivals that you've been into her. With her and at the Gospel Jamborees, give me a moment or something that took place in the atmosphere of those services that stands out to you.
I remember, I think one banquet, I can't remember what state, I think it could have been in Georgia, when we had a banquet, and I watched the banquet, and that was the first banquet that I've been to that, you know, everybody got dressed up and ate and had a good time, and we had the service there, you know. When I stepped out one time to go somewhere, and I came back in, and when I was looking, she had the mic, and you know how Mama Spearman get that mic, and she gets started, she going to town, that it was like people was like falling out, you know, on the floors, you know, at the banquet. The tablecloths were being lifted where they were covering people, so, you know. And I was like, I never seen that like, you know, I said, wow, a banquet is going like this? I mean, the band was, it was like so awesome to see. And I said to myself, I said, this lady can just go anywhere. I mean, even when you have waitresses and waiters start what they're doing, and then they come and get involved with it themselves, you know, they want to be a part of what's happening and they want to miss it. That really did something to me. And even one time we did a parade, and there was a motorcycle club. I mean, they were so excited. They got involved and got in line with the parade, and they ended up at the outdoor gospel with the rest of them, just following this lady for what she, you know, what God has given her to touch the people. All she did was she just showed love, and that's all it is. And that's what it's all about.
Man, I'm going to tell you, Pastor Spearman, just experiencing what I experienced, wherever she went, she affected the atmosphere.
Yes,
whatever,
she did.
When she showed up, God showed up with her. That's one thing
that's
I
right.
can say. And I said last week that the first time I laid eyes on her,
mm-hmm.
We used to go, I was raised up in St. John Baptist Church out in Ewing Township, and my aunt, and she took me to the revival over at Holy Cross.
Right.
And as soon as I looked at her, the anointing on her, like, it made me feel something. I couldn't even explain what I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even, like, express the feeling that I felt, man. And I
right.
remember the first Sunday that she started Love Temple, I joined that first Sunday.
And I was one, too.
Yeah, she was a magnet. Her anointing was a magnet. It just
mm-hmm.
drawn. It just, you. It's like almost like you had no choice.
Right.
You was like just overtaken by her love and the anointing and the power of God that was on her life, man.
Right.
I'm just so thankful and honored that God allowed me to experience that in the days of my youth. I really. Sometimes I, to this day, I have friends that I try to explain to them what I've experienced in service. I try to like paint a picture to them.
Right.
And I wish that I can just take them back in time and just let them feel and see what took place.
Right.
And, I mean, yeah, man, it's just something, man.
It is.
Minister Clay, man, I'm so glad that you called in, man. I know you said you're at work, so I'm not going to hold you long, man. But listen,
right.
I'm so glad that you're a part of this. And
okay.
I know you're looking forward to a great time. And I'm looking for a great time for us to come together and praise God.
Right.
On a whole nother level, man.
That's
we
it.
Can just dance and sing unto God and let the preacher preach. And let's just come together and let it be a true jamboree for God, man.
That's right. As she would say, let's get it in, get it in, get it in.
Yes. Get it in, get it in, get it in.
That's right.
Well, Minister Clay, man, we thank you for your time, man. You calling in, man.
All right. I appreciate that.
We'll be seeing you on the 17th.
Definitely. I will be
next
there.
Saturday.
Next Saturday, yeah.
That's right, man. So you be blessed, man. And we'll see you real soon, my brother.
Okay, you guys take care and God bless you.
God bless. Listen, we have a caller with a 757 area code. Hello? 757 area code?
Yes,
there's another caller with it.
From Norfolk, Virginia. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm blessed. God bless you.
Thank God for you calling in. This is Pastor George Cabarrus?
This is George Cabarrus, Bishop Cabarrus from Norfolk, Virginia.
Yeah, God bless you, man. How you doing?
Good. Wonderful.
Well, listen, man, we thank you, man, for calling in all the way from Virginia. And listen, we just want to just ask you, just starting out, what does the legacy of Pastor Spearman mean to you?
The legacy that Pastor Spearman, Dr. Nancy Spearman left was just, you can take a lick and keep on ticking, and it doesn't matter what you're going through. If God brings it to it, he'll bring it through it. And she wasn't a quitter. She was a, you know, she lit fires everywhere she went. Buford, Marion, Rochester, New York, Spring Valley. She was an awesome powerhouse. And when I lived in Newark, New Jersey, she would go out 6 months and come back 6 months. And during the 6 months that she was gone, the town was dried up. There was no flowing of anointing. But when we saw her coming back to town, wherever she were, we would be in the audience supporting her. Her and Geraldine Johnson, Pastor Geraldine Johnson, and telling her, "Preach, girl, preach, go, 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 go."
Man, so let me ask you this: how did those services affect your life as a man?
Oh my God! The anointing that was on her life. First of all, she was in a class all by herself. I haven't seen nobody like her since she's gone home to be with the Lord. She would preach till she's soaking wet. The water was coming out of her shoes. The clothes drenched her and Geraldine, Pastor Geraldine Johnson. The motivation that she's given me that it does not matter what you're going through. Hold on, hold out, God will bring you through it. And I often think about her. And she just was an inspiration. She gave it all she got. Lord have mercy, she gave it all she got. And it makes me want to do the same thing. She preached a message one time, how bad do you need it and how far are you willing to go to get it? Lord have mercy. Then she preached another message one time. I'm bald headed, but I feel my hair growing back. Then she preached another message. It's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it.
Come on.
And she would wreck the house. She would wreck the house. She would wreck the house. She was an evangelist of evangelists, not just a pastor, but the evangelist field. She took it by storm, and it's just amazing. And I'm going back in the mid 70s, 1975, 1974, when she would come to Newark, New Jersey, Mother Baytop, and she would go to Pastor Joy Tabernacle. Oh my God! Every night we were right there in the audience, pushing her, our little group. And she'll never be forgotten.
Well, Pastor George Cabarrus, you're on the phone right now. Pastor Kelly, Pastor Johnson, they're all on the line right now.
Yeah. And Pastor Kelly would make that guitar talk. She definitely wasn't an evangelist, and she wasn't scared. They were out there late nights waiting on the buses, taking the train. There are times she preached, didn't get no money. There are times she preached, the pastors kept the money, and she wasn't about money. You know what I mean? She just was an example to the body of Christ, and if we could follow and do some of the things she's done, God will be pleased with our lives.
Well, let me ask you this, Pastor George Cabarrus. What things took place back then that you don't see taking place now in this time?
The unadulterated gospel being preached. She told it like it was, in the pulpit and outside of the pulpit. When you would go to her for counseling behind closed doors, she was transparent. She told you what God wanted. She didn't compromise. We got too much compromising now. It's just the church is just going haywire. And she had an authentic anointing. You know, whether it was music or no music, she preached under the anointing, and she could not be brought. Because, you know, money, if you'll hang up, hell, homie, you'll hang out. She could not be brought. She wasn't in it for the money. Because if she was in it for the money, they would have stopped a long time ago. And that's what I admire about her. And she didn't, and also she didn't discriminate. She didn't judge people. It wasn't, she didn't care what they had on or what they looked like or what kind of sin they was involved. She didn't compromise, but she loved people unconditional. And that's what I liked about her.
Man, let me ask you this. Could you, out of all of the services that you've been in with Pastor Spearman, that you've seen, that you witnessed firsthand, is there any moment that stands out among them all?
There's so many just revivalists, you know. Not only did we have, not only did she do revivals, but we was with her in Beaufort, in the outdoor gospel parade, Rochester, New York, outdoor gospel parade. She just affected me in every area that I can think of. In the political, also the political people respected her, the mayor, the councilman. When they knew she was putting on the parade, you know, they worked with her and gave her, and she worked untiring. She didn't, she gave it all she had, and when she preached, people were revived and restored and renewed. So she definitely wasn't a revivalist. Yeah, she passed for 25 years, and I enjoyed that. I would come from North to Trenton from time to time, but I enjoyed her greater when she was on the road. And and like I said, there's, you don't find them like that no more. You know, she's unparalleled.
Man. Well, Pastor Gibson, is there any questions that you have for Pastor George Gabarus?
No, but it's good to hear Pastor Gabarus on the line. Haven't seen him for a while up in Trenton, but so glad to hear him on the call. Pastor Johnson, do you have any questions for Pastor Gabarus?
No, I just love him, and we just thank God that he was a part of our family.
Yes.
Miss him greatly.
Yes.
Man, Pastor George Cabarrus, we thank you, man, for calling in. And are you able to come? Are you able to come to the jamboree that we're having down here?
Well, I'm going to revisit my schedule. I'm putting up a gospel tent. From the 21st to the 25th. So I'm going to see if I can cut it short and try to get there. I'm going to revisit my schedule and see if I can make some arrangements because I would love to be there.
Man, it'll be a blessing to have you, man. I remember I was a young man. I know one thing I remember. You would dance. You love praising God, man.
I would see you going in. Yeah.
I remember one time, they had the train going around the church, the train, and everybody was just dancing in that train, man. It was just unbelievable, man.
Yeah.
Things that I would see, man, with the praise, man.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor Cabarrus, you don't have to get off the call. We're going to be on. We got a few other callers on here, and if you stay on, we might get back to you with some a few more questions. I just want to make sure everybody get a chance to, you know, give their testimony or say a few words or anything like that, okay, sir?
One thing I just came to my mind. I want to make mention of. She had a victory when you brought up the train. She had a victory march. My sister was 25 years old at the time, in Trenton, New Jersey. Spearman was doing a victory march, and my sister had left the service right after she got through preaching. She said she was tired. She was ready to go home. And going home that night, she going down 109 in Trenton and New Brunswick. They hit a telegraph pole, and God took her on home. And Spearman came to the homegoing service. But I will never forget that night in Trenton, New Jersey, at the church where the bishop is now. And it was an awesome, awesome service that night. And so Spearman have really made an impact on my entire family, my twin brother that passed away, and to my entire family. And she's a hero in my life. And I just thank God for her and Dr. Geraldine. I just thank God for those two women. They were they fireballs. And I'm glad to see Pastor Geraldine Johnson still carrying on the legacy that Spearman left.
Man, when you just mentioned that revival at Holy Cross, that's the week that I was introduced to Pastor Spearman. That week,
yeah,
I was in that revival. That's when I first seen her.
Wow.
And man, I remember that, man. And I remember that whole situation and everything, man, for real. Wow, man.
Yeah.
We had some, that was the time I had never in my life, been in a church service like that. That was my first time ever experiencing that, ever.
Yes.
That,
man.
I remember that. Clear, man. For real. Well, we thank you, man, for calling in, sharing, man. We thank you, man, for being a part of this call, honoring the legacy of Dr. Nancy A. Spearman, man. We thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Now we have a caller from a 303 number. It's a 609-303. Hello? If your number is 609-303, I don't want to give your whole number on the phone. Okay. We have another caller with an 851 number. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. How you doing?
Hi, Mr. Miller. Pastor Gibson, Pastor Johnson, Pastor Kim, Minister Cruz.
Hey, what's going on, Minister Cruz?
Hanging in there, you know?
That's good, man. Well, listen, man, we start the show off asking, what does the legacy of Dr. Nancy A. Spearman mean to you?
A mighty, powerful, anointed woman of God. One that was about the business of God, one that was about saving souls and helping any and everybody that can, no matter what they were into, no matter what sin, no matter what condition they were in, one that could sit there when you were down and out and help lift you up with the word, no matter what it was, always had time for people, was a people person that would lead you in the right way. A phenomenal woman.
Man, could you give us some times what you've experienced in her revival and at the Gospel Jamborees? What are some of the highlights of those times to you?
Soul saving. With the parade, people, I can even remember, I'll go back to Cincinnati. There was, and I can remember, just like it was yesterday, Caucasian sheriff. Security guard, rather, brown and beige uniform, came in, busted. By the time she got finished praying for him and everything else, the man was sober. It was the spirit just moved right through. Man was sober, gave his testimony, talked about he'd never seen anything like it, and he just wanted to just be a part of it. People getting delivered, people getting healed, saved, and not this little, you know, wham, bam, boom, thank you, man, stuff, but really getting saved and delivered and filled with the Holy Ghost. Like I listened to Pastor Johnson say earlier, everybody wants to do a one-nighter now. Nobody wants to do the week revivals and everything else. And I really feel that it's not that many people that are around, seasoned saints that are around now, that really are totally committed and about the saving of souls, the deliverance, the bringing people to where they need to be, the helping people get into the kingdom. Because there's so many of us, I like her saying, I use her saying first that I've adapted to. We've got to go through to get through in order to get our breakthrough. And there's so many people now that's living in these days and times, so I know I was doing it at one time, living a nightmare on Elm Street, speaking with the enemy and dancing with wolves. But I thank God because of Dr. Pastor Nancy Spearman. She might have been singing that song at one time, 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you, 3, 4, better lock my door, 5, 6, grab my crucifix. But now, because of her and me getting saved under her ministry, I ain't got to sing that song now. I can sing 1, 2, God died, Christ died for me. 3, 4. He'll give me more. 5, 6. If I need a fix, all I got to do is holler out and call on the name of Jesus. Know how to sit there and fast and pray in order to get my breakthrough. And knowing that is not about me, but it's about what? Whatever I can do to what? Upbuild the kingdom of God, to lead people to the kingdom. Everything that we went through in life, I always say that it's a reason we're going through that thing. Some people may not understand it, but everything we went through, later on down the road of life, we're going to meet somebody that's either in that or is going to get into what we've been through, so we can be able to witness to them and help bring them out to let them know that there is a way. They don't have to go down that street. But if they stay on that straight and narrow path sometime, it may get lonely. But then we got what? We can fall back on Jesus so that we can sit there and make it through and make it in, because he will supply. So many times we want this microwave religion. We don't want to wait on God, but if we wait on God, like the Bible says, and be of good courage, he will strengthen our heart.
Well, Minister Cruz, how did her ministry affect you personally?
Her ministry actually affected me to want me to get closer to God, to see the way she was, to want to be like her. She was a mentor to me. She was my hero. She let me know that, okay, I want this anointing she has. I want to be able to walk in the footsteps that she has. And I want to follow me as I follow Christ. Paul's not here no more, but she was here, so I try to follow in her footsteps as she followed in Christ's footsteps, because I wanted to be like her. I wanted to be doing like I wanted to give somebody Christ and to help somebody else, just like she did. So many times we forget, and I'm talking about everybody, we forget. We sometimes, and I'm going to say we're preachers, some preachers want to preach and preach up a good word, can preach up a star, can sit there and help save souls, but then they forget what Paul said. Paul said, I'm forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth to those things which are ahead. So many times they don't want to forget about the past. They're holding on to the past and don't realize that they're what? Nothing but a tinkling brass cymbal right now, because they can't let the past go in order to get to the future. Holding on to the past of, oh, I was hurt with this, oh, I didn't like this that was done, oh, I ain't like that was done, I ain't like the way they did this, but don't even know that they're hindering their blessings, and then they're not walking the path, they're not living the life.
Well, let me ask you this one question, too. If you was to give me one word, you only got one word, you can only use one word, what would that word be concerning Pastor Spearman?
That one word, phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Wow.
Like her, Bishop Cabarrus said, in a class all by herself. When she made that statement, she said when she prayed, he asked, didn't want to preach, and she prayed unto God, and God told her when she wanted to get married, he is that man's name. Alone right now, but he sat there and said, do you want to make one happy or you want to make thousands? And she said thousands, and he told her to go preach his word. And she said, every to all the way to the end.
Man. So let me ask you this, Minister Cruz. You know, we're getting prepared for the Gospel Jamboree Revival, August 23rd and 24th. You've already been through jamborees in your lifetime. You've been a member of Love Temples. You've been in her revivals. Now, as we're approaching this time to honor her legacy, within this time, what are you looking most forward to by being involved in this?
Helping out and thinking that people will, our favorite saying, those that are going through can get through and get a breakthrough. Deliverance, healing, saving of souls, filling of the Holy Ghost, financial blessings, whatever they need, it's like all they got to do is name, claim it, and let it be. Hold the window and give it on to God.
Wow. Well, listen, man, we thank you, man, for calling in and sharing that with us, that part right there. Right now, I'm going to leave it in the hands. We have a few more minutes left on the show. I'm going to leave it in the hands of Pastor Gibson. If you ask any more questions, we still have Pastor Johnson on the line. Want to know if you want to ask Pastor Johnson some questions. We have Pastor Kelly still on the line. If you want to ask them some questions. And our George Tabaris is still on the line at this time.
As they said, jam for Jesus. And that's it.
Yes.
Amen. Well, I know the one thing I did hear, Minister Cruz, I heard him say, is he's looking, you know, for the deliverance to happen in people's lives. And I think that if Dr. Spearman were here and if she was a part of this jamboree, that is exactly what she would be looking for. She wouldn't care about, you know, how much money people had in their pockets. She wouldn't care about who was coming to this jamboree revival weekend. But whoever came, her desire would be that they be saved, delivered, and set free. And so I'm just so excited about what God is going to do. I can feel the deliverance already in my spirit just as we're preparing for it. Even in the choir rehearsals and, you know, as I'm talking to people on the call and different places and just preparing for this service, I can feel deliverance in the air. I know that something special is going to take place. You know, and it's my desire that people will come and receive the hope that's missing in the world, because hope is missing. People don't have anything to look forward to because they've lost hope. And so I pray that we restore hope through this revival, this Jamboree Revival Weekend, even as we remember the woman of God, you know, that we are able to restore hope through praise. And you know what was so special about the praise and the revival, Minister Miller, was that it was free. We were taught how to praise until we got a breakthrough.
Yes.
It wasn't just no, you know, tip tap and go sit down. We praised God until we got a breakthrough. And I think that's something that we don't see a lot of anymore. Everything's so structured and so schooled that we've really missed having a free spirit. So I'm just grateful for everybody calling in. I don't know about everybody else in the call, but I'm excited. Are you?
Yes, I'm excited. I'm truly excited. I know Pastor Johnson. I'm. You know what, Pastor Johnson? I'm so glad that he's really involved in it. It's something that actually still to be able to have those that travel with her for all those years like that, man. It's just so much that I know that they can say that we couldn't even really have enough time on the show to really get into. But I do know one thing that is going to be great. I'm believing souls will be saved. And I'm believing lives will be changed. I believe that deliverance is on its way. I'm in a full agreement with what you just said. Full agreement. Pastor Kelly?
Yes, sir.
Is there anything that you want to say?
I was just blessed by the encouraging words that I heard from everyone. And may God continue to bless me. I'm excited about the Jamboree Revival. Looking for God to really bless. And that we can shout it out and give God some praise. And like you said, it's something that we don't see the push of praise and worship. And let people praise God till they break through and break out the situation they're going through. And one thing, she was not tolerant of sin, but those that went through different things, situations, stages, she covered to protect them. She loved them anyway. She didn't turn a deaf ear. She didn't turn a back on them, but she loved them anyhow. And that's what we need to learn from her legacy, the love. She showed so much love despite situations, despite circumstances. She showed so much love. I just want to say this. I never met a woman when I first met her years ago.
before I started traveling with her. And I never met a woman of God. She came to a, I think the Heaven Yet, just to show her face, anniversary. And they say, we see Pastor Evangelist Spearman in the audience. Would you have something to say? Mama said, no, no, no. They said, come on, Mother, say something. I saw this woman of God get up, said just a few words, and turned the church upside down, right side up. And the whole atmosphere changed in just a moment of seconds when she grabbed the mic. There's very, very few people in the world in the prophetic, in the deliverance, and even in ministry has that impact that they can get up and change the atmosphere of a service. That really blessed me. God bless you, brother.
Man, well, listen, I know we're going to be off the show real shortly, and I'm no on the show here. I see that there are preachers on the show. So I know Pastor Spearman, she was an evangelist, she was a preacher, but this show right now, this show has a lot of listeners out there. Some are saved, some are not saved, but people are listening. And I just want every man or woman of God that's left on the phone just to speak a word out into the atmosphere and just give an encouraging word to the people that are out here. So I'm going to start with our Pastor George Cabarrus, if he would just speak a word of encouragement over the airwaves.
God bless you. I just want to say to you that are out there and don't know Jesus, this is a time to make up in your mind, allow God to come into your life. This is a time to commit your way unto Him and allow Him to transform your life. Amen. Jesus loves you unconditional. You're a bachelor. You're falling from grace. You can get back up. And I want you to know that He loves you and He died that you might have life. And that more abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Our minister Cruz.
Yes, I just want to encourage those that no matter what it is that you may be going through, whatever it is that you may need, all you got to do is just seek God, which wholeheartedly, and just ask Him and believe it, and He will do whatever you need Him to do. Just trust and believe, for there's no other way. He will do it. Just be encouraged. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Gibson.
Amen. I just want to encourage those that are listening to this call, and maybe you're a non-believer and you really don't, you know, you have questions about whether God is real or not. I just want you to be encouraged to seek again, to try Him again. Amen. If you try Him, He will prove Himself to you. Many times growing up, I know I had many questions about whether God was real or not. But in His timing, He showed me exactly who He was. Amen. I needed Him, and He came to my rescue. And I'm so glad He came to rescue me. My life changed forever, and I'm so grateful to the Lord for salvation. If you just try Him again, and I mean try Him 100%, give up everything, and try God, you will not be disappointed.
Amen. Pastor Kelly. Pastor Kelly.
Yeah, God bless you. I like to say to you, I believe God. And no matter as a song that Pastor Spearman, you're always saying out there to the young people, to the older people, we love you. And never forget, I don't care what you're going through. God got the power to see you through. There's no problem too hard for God, not the song. He'll keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. Be healed, be delivered, and be set free. In the name of Jesus, we love you out there. God bless you.
Amen. Pastor Johnson.
Praise God. Is Simon Jenkins on the line? All right. Praise God. We want you to come fasting and praying because we know that there's going to be a lot of spectators come to look and see what the jamboree is all about. But you be encouraged. We coming, fasting, praying, believing God, and we going to have a good time. If one soul be saved, it's worth it all. So don't worry about the negative, what people talk about. You come, fasting, believing God, and come in with your dancing shoes, because let's shout all night long. God bless you. Until the jamboree, meet us on the dance floor. God bless you.
Amen. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. Listen, I pray for all out there that have been listening. I hope you were blessed by what you heard, whether you know Pastor Spearman or not. She was a great, powerful, anointed woman. And if anything she would want to be said on this show or during this gospel jamboree is that Jesus saves and that Jesus will change your life if you give him a chance, if you give him the opportunity to do so. So listen, you all be blessed out there and stay tuned. August 23rd and 24th, the Gospel Jamboree Revival will take place. God is going to move. It's going to be a powerful, anointed celebration honoring Dr. Nancy A. Spearman. God bless you all. We love you here. Until the next time, be blessed.